So, Retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day a much-loved entertainer died on live TV.
Then on Tuesday, we remember the Roots sensation of 1977.
On Wednesday, we unearth the bizarre story of the longest war you've never heard of.
On Thursday, the day an Italian became Queen of Poland.
And on Friday, we celebrate... the women who infiltrated the men-only Boston Marathon.
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the Retrospectors. 10 minutes each weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast that is all in the same room for the first time in forever.
This is genuinely so weird.
Cheers.
Oh, we can do this. We can do this.
Hey!
And I'm wearing trousers.
Hey!
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast that outlasted those at WTF1.
Yeah.
Look, we've never talked about WTF1 because, frankly, they're beneath us.
I've never listened to it.
Don't know what it is, but now
Jack
Nicholson.
It is with Jack Nicholson. Yeah. Now we love it.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast that is doing, at best, a livery launch with last year's presenters.
Welcome to 2023 F1.
The same old shit.
Welcome to, for Formula One's sake, the F1 podcast going to its 9th year. We will soon be up for special heritage payments.
I also want preferential treatment from all the pubs we record in.
Who'd have thought 9 years ago that Kimi Raikkonen would actually give up Formula One?
I'm still not convinced he has.
Who'd have thought we'd have outlived Kimi Raikkonen?
He's not dead.
Well.
He's about to have another kid as well. Should we find out how old Oscar Piastri was when we started? Oscar Piastri was born in 2001, so he was 14 when we started.
Fucking hell.
I'm Tigger Ayres, and I'm in a pub with real people surrounded by beer and raw podcasting talent. And Phil and Terry. Tonight, from the Mad Bishop and Bear in Paddington, we are going to talk about the 2023 Formula One World Championship in the hope that it won't be the utter shambles that we know it will be. We are going to revel in each other's physical company, reminisce in about how we used to meet after every race and talk about shit car launches and all the other bollocks that has happened since Abu Dhabi. F1 is back, fuckers. That is all to come. Joining me is a man who is a proper F1 fan. It is Phil Trobens.
It is.
How do you define this?
Well, I define a proper F1 fan as somebody who likes to show off their affinity for the sport by wearing branded racewear.
You are wearing branded racewear of the...
The hottest new team of 2023.
Hang on, what happened to them? Did they...
I probably need to explain what I'm wearing. Shall I do it? Do you want to tell the listeners?
So,
what am I rocking here?
Phil is wearing a... I mean, I'm going to be honest, the colour's slightly wrong.
What do you mean wrong?
It's not quite the right shade of turquoise. So Phil is wearing a Leighton House jumper, which... So Leighton House were a team that were big in the...
I want to say 89, 90 maybe?
Adrian Newey's first car was Leighton House.
I think it was officially March when he first did it, but it was, yeah, they might as well say that, yeah.
Okay, so Leighton House were March. March was a team that had been going for years that was owned by Max Mosley.
This is good. This is genuine new old stock that I managed to swipe from a late night, slightly drunken troll of the internet. This is a proper team jumper that had been sat in a cupboard for 30 years.
How much did it cost
years.
You?
Well, funny story. It should have been.
Hang on, should we play a game?
Okay.
The new quiz where me and Chica
jumper
try
quiz,
and guess
jumper quiz.
How much it cost.
How much did Phil pay for his clothes?
Phil is notoriously tight.
Oh, thanks.
But also loves Formula One.
No, he isn't. He spends a lot of money on stupid things. Remember the
no,
bike?
No, that's me you're thinking of.
No, the bike.
Oh, no, the bike. You're right, your bike, yeah. So I reckon you spent...
the chair.
I'm going to go for £40.
No, I reckon you went for more.
Ooh.
Well, it's going to be...
I reckon £61.
Well... This is a difficult one to award because the price I initially paid for it was £60. However, when they went to get it out of the cupboard, the store cupboard, they realised that it had some holes in it.
And it was the wrong green.
No, it is the right green. It's the official
the right
team.
Green.
It's the official team colour. Colours.
Look, it should be blue. There's the pit. It should be that colour.
Right, well, it's not the car, is it? It's the team wear. This was the 80s. Nobody cared about that stuff then. They didn't have Pantones or colour. they got it out of the cupboard to send it, and they sent me a message saying, I'm really sorry, it's got some holes in it. And I said, okay, well, I'd still quite like it. And I offered them 30 quid.
Jesus.
And they eventually sent it to me for 20 quid. And they also sent me a load of Leighton House stickers from the 80s as well. So that's good.
Have they got any stickers?
And I've also got a Mauricio Gugelmin t-shirt, which I should have worn, but I'm not. And I've got an Ivan Capelli pin badge.
And alongside him is a man. God blimey, how's your... I didn't mean to do that. How's your father, lovely Paranockers? Strike a light, he's back in London. Is Terry Saunders.
God, Jiminy Riddles, apples and pears. Have a banana. Whee. God, Mary
Poppins. I didn't realise what I was reading there. So
it's the story of the
God
podcast.
God blimey.
I'm here. I'm in London. It's the first time I've been in London for like a year.
Great to see you.
Everything is very expensive here.
Yeah. Do you like the way that everything's sort of going backwards?
I'm torn. Berlin is a lovely place. I love it dearly. I like living there. I love living there. But Berlin is a bit of a rough city. It's not rough in kind of danger, but rough in kind of... There's dog shit, graffiti everywhere. You know, everything's concrete-y. The sky's always quite grey. It's
like
quite
Croydon.
Depressing. It's like Croydon if Croydon was, you know... If Hitler lived there. Once.
Wait.
Not anymore.
Okay. He did actually go to Liverpool once, anyway.
Did he?
Yeah, it's true.
So I'm torn because I quite like being... I've only got back this afternoon, but I quite like... Everything's quite fancy here, and I've realised that I've been missing fancy and chain restaurants.
When you say here...
This is not true, because we got a burger just now, and you were like, oh, I do like something fancy, even though we're in a station pub.
Yeah, the burger
and then
was
you
shit.
Moaned. Yeah, but, I was like, what do you expect?
The
we're
burger
in a
arrived. You know that thing where the chips were all stacked in a little kind of wire mesh?
Oh, yeah.
Right? You don't get that in Germany. Why would you put chip? Why not put chips on the plate?
Put some on the plate.
Put some on the plate.
Put some in the basket, so you're definitely not yours to cook the chips. It's just pointless.
So, I was impressed by that for a second. When I took a bite into the burger, I was like, this is Brexit Britain. This burger is disgusting.
All style, no substance.
Overcooked.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. It's expensive. This burger costs like 40 quid. And so I'm enjoying the kind of swishiness of London. Mm. Everything's glass buildings. Everything's clean.
Eh.
But also there's a kind of stench of death in the air.
Sure. Well, that's Chica. Mm.
Brexit.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
So, you know, how have you been, Chica? How have your stench of death?
The death, well, that's a giveaway. Speaking of Leighton, I actually went at the weekend to see Leighton Orient.
No. There you go. It all comes around, doesn't it?
Yeah, you see.
Of course, it used to be March Orient.
I need to look up. There's something about the name that's racist.
Not really.
Oh.
About the name of what? Leighton Orient or Leighton House?
I've read this before, Karen.
So I saw them play at AFC Wimbledon.
Oh, the real Wimbledon or the fake Wimbledon?
I know
the real
score.
Wimbledon, not the Milton Keynes.
Milton Keynes Dons.
Keynes, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And saw a real life football match.
Wow. Are you a big football fan?
Absolutely no, can't stand it. But it was. I'm not going to say fun because football's not really my thing.
Why did you go?
Just get away from. Baby.
In fairness, that is the obvious thing. Whenever a
football.
Mother needs just a little bit of time away and a bit of respite from parenting, the obvious thing to go is
get me to a match. Right, let's get into the off-season news because there hasn't been any testing yet, so there is fuck all else to talk about. But luckily, quite a lot has happened since our season review, so let's get stuck in. So where to start? Well, let's begin with the fact that the Americans are coming. Firstly, the name of America's last F1 champion wants to be back in the form of his underwhelming son. Yes, the man who Ron Dennis hailed as a future world champion, Michael Andretti, is back. Let's forget for a second that he lasted 1 year in F1 and scored just one podium in one of the best cars on the grid, when his teammate Ayrton Senna scored 5 wins. No, remember instead that Michael's dad, Mario, was
Mario.
World champion.
You say him, Mario.
So he's a Nepo kid with serious potential. Now, Michael has his own team that races in IndyCar and Formula E, and he wants a slice of the F1 action. So he's teamed up with Cadillac and an American brand best known for massive 1950s barges and some endurance racing to mount a bid for an entry. The FIA is keen to have them, but F1 and the teams less so, because it'll dilute the prize money. What do you make of this?
I mean, it's classic F1.
it's the most F1 thing that's ever happened. So there's
not a lot of money in F1. Let's, you know.
I mean, yeah, F1's a bit skint at the minute because
nobody's that interested in it, especially not in America.
There's only just the biggest market in the world. So FIA and Formula One have said we want more teams. Michael Andretti has said, we've got a team called Andretti. We're very famous around the world. Can we come in? And all the F1 teams went, no, we don't believe you. If you mean it, then why don't you have an engine supplier? And they went,
car manufacturer on board.
Well, what if we go with General Motors and Cadillac? And they went, oh.
Which is, one of the biggest car brands in the world.
So then Formula One had gone, oh, but we don't think you really mean it. Can you prove it? And then they've got to pay, a new team has to pay a fund.
I think it's 200 million, isn't it? Because the problem is that when there's a set amount of prize money for all the teams, and it's divvied out between them. And if a new team comes in, that's more dilution of the cash. So there's like a fund that a new team has to pay to sort of make up that change, which apparently is set at $200 million.
But also, that seems weird to me, doesn't it? It's just like, it's basically Williams going, look, guys, if you come in, we're going to get no money because we're doing this. So everyone's like, oh, come on, Williams. So then they've paid their $200 million.
Yeah, they said, yeah, we've got it. We've got the car company. We've got the money.
Like a racket, Formula One have gone, oh, I don't think $2 million is enough.
Or do even $200 million.
I think, wouldn't it be nice if you paid $1 billion?
I think they said, well, maybe $600 million. Forgetting, of course, that they've already agreed that it's $200 million.
Yeah.
They're changing the goalposts quite rapidly.
And then Mohammed bin Sulayem, he came out and said, I think it's really unfair that the F1 teams are being so anti this, when no F1 team has gone public being anti it. So he's just washing their laundry in public.
Yeah. Which we'll get to as part of the wider piece.
Doing some more stuff as well. And so it just feels like what should be good news of, guys, after 50 years of trying to get America interested in Formula One, after Bernie Ecclestone has tried for so long, even since we've been doing the podcast, there have been failed F1 teams from America. Cadillac are coming in with all the Netflix excitement and everything else, and even with Andretti, which, Michael Andretti is a fat loser, but, you know, his dad was good once. And yet, Formula One goes...
I just think we need a little bit more substance behind it than a world champion's name and the biggest market potential in F1 and the backing of a major car brand and all the money that we've asked for. Need a bit more than that.
Can we see some swatches?
What have you got to sweeten the deal? I don't know where this is going to go. It's really hilarious, but also... it doesn't reflect... I can sort of see, from a business point of view, why the teams would be like... But on the other hand, they've agreed to it. Like, it's all been agreed.
The business you're talking about is a cartel. They're saying, we don't want anyone else to come into this business. We've got a nice little earner going on here. If we have an American company coming in and winning, we're all going to be fucked. So we've all got to gang up against the Americans. Yeah. And it does feel a little bit...
Off the west side.
Yeah, it's not quite racist, but it's kind of like, you know... Oh, those vulgar Americans are trying to do racing again.
So NASCAR. Racist.
And so when do they have to decide by?
I don't know.
Well, it's all very opaque as well, isn't it?
Let's be honest. They're probably going to be... They'll air all their dirty laundry in public, apart from the stuff they keep private, but then probably Mohammed bin Sulayem will air that anyway. Then there'll be a load of court cases.
Because surely the longer they delay it...
I would have thought they'd probably come in.
They can't develop a car to be able to...
Well, I think they'll be coming in for the 2026 season.
Yeah.
That's
so
the next rule change.
Right.
So they'll probably want to get it sorted this year, won't they?
Because they've got to build an
engine.
Because
they've got to develop an engine and they've got to... They've got to steal all the staff. Figure out how they're going... I mean, there's an entirely different thing. It's like how they're going to run... a team in America, because even the current American team, Haas, doesn't really run the team in America. They run the team in Oxfordshire,
and Haas must be fucking spitting feathers going, and we're the American team, look, we're the American team that aren't really American so that we can please all you people. And everyone's like, yeah, you're the proper
Americans. It's not enough to just set up a team like in Detroit, which is where GM are based. Like, you've got to have all the supply. Like, the team doesn't make everything in the car. They put everything together, but they have suppliers, tons of suppliers. And the reason most people are in the UK is because that's where all the suppliers are. Like, within a sort of 30 square mile area of Northamptonshire and Warwickshire and Oxfordshire. So to try and start not buying another team and sort of putting your brand on it like Alfa have done. It's like a whole brand new team is a big old thing.
And they've got a lobby for the rule change to get their little wings at the back. Because that's all I know about Cadillac is they've got the fins.
No,
the fins
true.
At the back.
Yeah, yeah, big fins.
So that's for the 2026
they've got to be
allowed.
I mean, you know, from a branding point of view, they've got to keep those, surely. They should, and they should be pink. I've decided they need to get BWT into sponsoring.
So the American Revolution doesn't stop there, because world champions Red Bull has announced that it will ditch Honda in 2026 and will instead be in bed with Ford as its engine supplier. Well, sort of. Ford will be teaming up with the newly formed Red Bull powertrains, so exactly how much of the 2026 Go Tech will be Ford and how much will be in-house Red Bull remains to be seen. Oh, and AlphaTauri will be involved with this too, but no one really cares.
No, we'll ignore AlphaTauri. I did not see this coming.
If you thought the last story was the most F whatever, this is the most Honda thing ever.
This is very Honda.
So Honda... So let's get this straight. Honda had their own Formula One team.
Yep.
Which they sold to Braun.
Yeah, Ross, they won Braun. One race, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, with Jenson, what's
Jenson
his name?
Button.
Sold it to Braun because they were putting out a Formula One.
For like a quid.
So then Braun won both championships. Then that team became Mercedes and won 8 championships.
Yeah.
So then Honda went, oh, fucking hell, this Formula One thing's good if we win. So they went back into Formula One with McLaren as an engine supplier.
Yeah.
Fucking disaster.
We're terrible. Yeah.
Went to Red Bull, were an absolute disaster. We're just getting good with Red Bull and went, well, we're done, mate. And then Red Bull won all the championships with their engine without their name on it. And then this year they were rumoured to be going back to Red Bull and saying, hey, you know, we said that you could use our engines for 5 years without our names on. Well, we'd quite like to come back in.
And help you with this new Red Bull powertrains branded thing.
And Red Bull have gone, how about you fuck off and we have Ford?
Yeah.
And now there are rumours that Honda are going to come back in on their own again. Which means... they're going to spend 5 years being shit and then sell their team again just before they win. I love Honda. This really makes you want to buy a Honda Civic.
It does seem like Honda were just so busy umming and ahhing about what the hell they wanted to do with Red Bull powertrains. Like whether they wanted to properly get in. Because they basically sell their engine operation to Red Bull to become Red Bull powertrains? Like
they
gave him all the tools and half
all the
staff.
There's a bunch of ex-Honda staff that are now working for Red Bull, which presumably will now... I mean, I don't know what happens with IP.
Well, I think they've still got sort of Honda people embedded with them, I think.
But it'd be interesting to see what happens with the intellectual property of the Ford Red Bull engine compared to the
Red Bull have bought it all. I think that's how it works.
Weird.
Like I think they've probably gone,
oh yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll copyright.
Because this was Honda going, oh, Brexit, not Brexit. What's it called? The other thing. COVID. Same thing.
It's COVID and it was also...
And just general economic downturn. It's like, we better get out of it. And they flogged it all, as is my understanding, to Red Bull.
Bloody Red Bull.
And
of course...
Red Bull have just got fucked off with them not be deciding what they're going to do. So we're just going to go forward then.
But let's not forget, who did Red Bull buy Red Bull off?
Who did Red Bull buy Red Bull off?
Yeah.
The ties.
No. What? Who did Red... The team that are Red Bull now, Red Bull bought from...
Jaguar.
Which are owned by...
Which was owned by Ford at the time.
There you go.
Oh,
so
it all comes around.
So Red Bull brought this Jaguar team for a knockdown price because Ford were desperate to get out of Formula One. Then they've got Honda's engines at a knockdown price. Christian Horner's fucking Del Boy, isn't he? It's like Del Boy and Adrian Newey's Boise.
I think the 2026 car is going to be yellow and have 3 wheels. Horner's independent trading. It's interesting, not just from the hilarity of it all, but also because, yes, it's another American team. I mean, we're really going big on them. After so long of just like Haas and an occasional driver like Scott Speed being the only American presences in F1, now three
Ford,
teams.
Cadillac. Haas,
Andretti,
Porsche,
Scott
Audi,
Speed. No, he's not coming
McDonald's.
Back. Sure. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. What American brands are they going to get on board?
Well, let's find out which brands are supporting this podcast.
Nice.
And when we come back, we will have more news and a state of F1 for the ages.
As long as that age is in your mid-40s.
And we're back. So Mohammed bin Salem has basically annoyed everyone. The head of FIA has done a sterling job of putting his foot in something at every opportunity. And now anonymous sources are saying that he's probably getting the boot very soon. By the time this goes out, reckon his replacement would have been announced?
Oh, I don't know. He might hang around for a bit like Raikkonen.
Okay. Anyway, highlights of his presidency include saying that evaluation of the championship was inflated, and historical remarks that women aren't as intelligent as men, and if they are, he doesn't like them. Bummer MBS. Then there's his slightly weird bingy up of Andretti and Cadillac releasing the 2023 calendar early, cracking down on drivers expressing their own views, and so on and so forth.
And the weirdest thing about that was when he released the 2023 calendar early, it was just lots of shots of him naked.
He's not been what I hoped it would be. It's a bit of a funny one because I've met MBS.
No.
And I've known, well, I have, yeah. Because
when?
Well, he was the head of the Middle East, the UAE, whatever it's called.
When you lived there?
FIA, when I lived there. So he was at every, he'd like turn up for the opening of an envelope. So I've met him numerous times. He'd never remember me because he just goes around Gladstone and go, hi. And then does whatever he's doing. That, you know, any race, he gives out all the prizes. Any meeting, he's there chairing it, going, yes, we think it's brilliant. And now he's suddenly got to this mad world stage. And I think, because he's actually got a pretty good record as a driver. Like, he's like a multiple rally champion in the Middle East. So he knows how to drive. Not F1 cars, as I've mentioned previously, because he crashed one of those. But so, like, he had enough respect to sort of get him through this thing on a local level in the Middle East, but his approach is certainly to politics is certainly not passing muster on a global scale.
It does feel a bit like, do you remember, let's not go back to Abu Dhabi 2021, but let's do it. You know when Michael Massey did that whole kind of slightly aggressive radio message with Toto Wolff, kind of got, it's called Racing Toto, that thing.
Yeah.
It feels like that's what someone does who's misguidedly been told to go in fighting, and it feels like this is what he's done as well. He's been like, right, I'm not going to take any shit. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to piss on all the carpet, whatever, you know, what cats do.
Piss on carpets, yeah.
I haven't got carpets. And he's like, he's gone in and he's totally misjudged it, and he's gone in and he's been mental.
I'm not sure I see it that way. I don't think he's sort of trying to do something.
He's just mental.
I don't even think he's mental. I think he's just blithely wading in, giving out his views without the slightest thought to how they could be perceived, because he's had so long in a position of power where basically everyone was just like, yeah, great, whatever, we don't really mind, we'll do what you do, you're just kind of there. Don't really know what he did in the Middle East, to be honest.
Do you know what it weirdly reminds me of?
But now people are paying attention to what he's saying, whereas before they weren't.
It reminds me of UKIP. Do you remember when UKIP were just a bunch of lunatics, and then suddenly when Brexit became a big thing, suddenly every time a UKIP nutter said something, it got reported on the news, and it feels like that. It's like suddenly we're listening to the words he's saying, and
yeah,
it's like, oh, you're insane.
Yeah, I mean, your sort of initial analogy reminded me, if you remember when Ed Miliband tried to say that he could be tough.
I don't know if he's going to go or not, but definitely he's just... You can have a...
But does he not have to go?
Well, if he was in a company, he'd have gone by now. But alternatively, if he was a politician, he'd stay and then go away and come back again.
But it's a weird thing. So the FIA and Formula One, when it was Bernie Ecclestone and Max Mosley, they worked together in a kind of pincer movement to kind of get one up on the teams. And John Todt was basically benevolent. He just talked about road safety for some inexplicable reason for 10 years. He just keep talking about fucking seatbelts.
And his movie star wife.
Who is his movie star wife?
Michelle Yeoh from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
And now we've got this kind of antagonistic... FIA and Formula One are pitching against each other, which seems to be what doesn't normally happen.
I'm not even sure he's trying to be antagonistic. I think he's just saying the first thing that comes into his head and doesn't give the slightest
about how it comes across. He's like a racist UKIP councillor that says something about gollywogs and he gets on the 10 o'clock news.
Yeah, I think they'll probably keep him just for the comedy value. It'll be great on Drive to Survive Season 6.
Can't wait.
Williams has a new boss. Jos Capito, who arrived with much fanfare and achieved nothing, is gone. And in his place is James Vowles of Valtteri. It's James Fame. He's left his long-term post as chief strategist at Mercedes and now has to turn around the team that hasn't been good for a couple of decades now. Is he the man for the job?
No.
I
do not believe there is someone who can do this job.
You sure?
Williams, it's James.
Well, he's just going to call them on the radio. He's not going to go in. Yeah. He's going to strategize from a pit wall outside the base.
I've been reading a bit about this. So apparently what's been happening... So basically, there are a bunch of people... Unbelievably, there are a bunch of staffers at Williams who refuse to do things a different way because they say, like, this is the Williams way.
Oh, this is what happened at Red Bull when Adrian Newey took over. And he fired them all.
Well, this is the thing. So apparently there are a bunch of old people at Williams who just kind of go, no, we don't use any of that fancy computer shit here. We draw it with a...
We've always done it like this.
We hold it, we do it all by eye. And apparently Jos Capito came in and he tried to shake the place up and get rid of these people, but they've obviously all got good contracts or something. So they've all kind of gone, they basically defeated him and now they feel emboldened. So this new guy's going to come in. He's going to try the Mercedes way, the no blame culture, all this kind of stuff. It won't work. Williams are just a dinosaur. And I think it's time for them to die.
Wow.
I think they should be bought by Porsche and renamed, and the Williams name should go. And
wow.
They should fire everybody.
Wow. Because not now, even for old time's sake.
Now they're getting to be... They are as much Williams now as the Lotus a couple of years ago.
Well,
was
that's
Lotus.
True. Which one? Lotus, exactly. Or Lotus or Lotus.
Exactly. This is like buying a Leighton House t-shirt, not your one, a fake knockoff now. This is what they are.
Do you think he'll be a brutal boss, or do you think he's going to try and...
No, he's gonna try the Total Wolf way, which is going to be like, hey, everybody, we're all friends here. There's a no-blame culture. Yeah,
do the voice.
Hello!
No, he's German. Well, Austrian.
Hello. Ich heiße Terry.
You live in Germany.
Look, I live in Berlin. It's not really Germany. I don't have to speak much German.
I think he might be all right.
You're letting nostalgia get in your way.
That
same thing that for 9 years where we've gone, let's hope Williams this year can really kind of get it going, guys. You're thinking that he's going to change it.
Explained why. You're just saying, oh, I think it'll
be
okay.
Well, I got interrupted by...
How? By why will it be okay?
Well,
yeah, why, Phil?
Well, he's got how long... He's quite good at the old strategy. And what is taking on Williams, if not a strategy? You know, taking on the old guard. Circuits, isn't it? The circuits. I don't know what I'm talking about. I think he's got however many years at... 13 years at... 12 years at Mercedes. He was at Braun before that. He's seen how to take a team that weren't performing very well and make them world champions. He's worked alongside Toto Wolff and Niki Lauda and all these people and all the people that were at Mercedes before. Lewis Hamilton, he's worked with the best drivers. He knows how it should work, but he's also been there when it's been shit. And I think he's almost been sort of... Well, there's a rumour going around that he's almost been sort of groomed by Toto because they left on very good terms, like weirdly good
eerily
terms.
Good terms. Oh, I really miss him.
I think he's going to do a wonderful job. Like he's like, oh, no, please don't go to Williams and turn them into a Mercedes junior team. No, that would be terrible. Sorry.
Don't go to Williams. Or the other rumour, which is, please don't go to Williams and learn how to run a team so that when I Toto Wolff, retire in 3 years, you come back and take over the team like my son. All of this could be yours.
Flawless Toto Wolff impression.
All of this could be yours.
Sergio.
James, it's time for you to come back now.
All right, I'm going to ditch my Toto. That's my new Toto now. I love it.
It's a me.
I think he should go in and fire everybody. Yeah. So he's just standing there on his own going, right. And then he just gets on Indeed and LinkedIn and starts putting out adverts. Oh, we've broken the table.
Can you even imagine being someone who works at Williams and still going, no, this is the way we do things here.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
We're not going to change our ways after...
I've been doing this since the glory years of Pastor Maldonado setting fire to the garage.
We were just like, this is me and Nelson. We were...
Yeah, but junior.
So one team that won't have a team principal this year is Alfa Romeo, which, as a reminder, is basically still Sauber. Former team boss Frederick Vasseur has now gone to Ferrari, and former McLaren team principal Andreas Seidel has come in as CEO. But rather than take over the TP role too, he's appointed a team representative, Alessandro Alunni Bravi, who is already Sauber's managing director. What is all this about then?
Oh, God.
Well, it's simple, isn't it? They don't give a shit until they're out.
I mean, there might be actually quite a lot of wisdom in that throwaway comment, I think.
They're just phoning it in until they come in.
I think there is a certain element where, like, Seidel's like, right, I've got quite a lot to deal with over the next few years.
Yeah.
We've got to do a big transition to a massive takeover of Audi.
Valtteri Bottas is there going, maybe I'll become an Audi driver, whereas we just know that he's just going, okay, you're going to live out your season, you're going to live out your career in three incredibly, increasingly shit years at the shittest team.
Yeah.
You're going to get beaten by a Williams, mate.
I mean, if you thought, you know, we're focusing on next year's car was a thing, this is going to be we're focusing on the next team that we will be.
Yeah, we're focusing on the 2026 car.
Yeah, exactly. He's basically, a lot of the times the CEO will also be the team principal and, you know, look after specific details. But he's basically, I think Seidel's taken the point of view is like, I'm going to have to do quite a lot of organisation and speaking to Audi and figuring out how this is all going to work and all this kind of stuff. And I just need some, let's say, lackey to do the day-to-day stuff of running a distinctly midfield team, and step forward Alessandro Alunni Bravi, who I confess I know nothing about, but he's sort of run Sauber while they were not very good and is presumably good enough to be team principal of them until they're Audi, when I assume Seidel will take over the responsibilities.
I feel like the livery for the team this year should actually be the car covered in a tarpaulin.
It should just be a real tarpaulin with a little hole in the top, like you're wearing a poncho at the hairdresser's. There's the helmet sticking through.
So last year we saw sweeping technical changes that dramatically shook up the order, by which we mean it made Mercedes a bit shit. So what can we expect this year? So much exciting stuff. Higher floors, stiffer floors, lower weight by 2, count them 2 kilograms, more boring rear wings, roll hoops that work, and perhaps most exciting of all, bigger mirrors. Guys, this is going to be incredible.
This is going to make no difference to anything.
Look.
The mirrors. Let's talk about mirrors.
Sure. They're going to be bigger. Slightly bigger, mm-hmm. so you can see behind you slightly better.
Ooh.
I think it would be better if the cars were all mirror.
That would be exciting. Like,
do you mean like sort of continuous swooping mirror finish, like it's sort of chromed, or do you mean like a disco ball with like
one big floor length mirror? You know how they have to do the plank on the bottom of the car?
Sure.
Now on the top of the car, it should just be a big mirror.
Okay.
But if they were all big mirrors, then you wouldn't really be able to see them. So you wouldn't really know who was driving.
Or it could be like a Harrison mirrors. So that, you know, that thing with like the infinite mirror thing.
Like Bruce Lee in that film.
All we know is Red Bull were the best team at the end of last year. Hopefully Mercedes have sorted their shit out. Hopefully Ferrari... Sorry.
That's a good one.
That's fine. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, I missed you, Terry.
Hopefully Mercedes will not be shit. That's all.
Testing will be the first day at school for F1's new boys, which means Fernando Alonso will be gearing up to dish out wedgies and steal their lunch money. Facing the bullies will be the newly promoted Logan staff sergeant backstabbing France hater Oscar Piastri, Nick De Vries, who actually did a trial day last term, and Nico Hülkenberg, who is actually a university student trying to pass himself off as a year 7. How do we think they'll get on?
First of all, I don't want Nico Hülkenberg in Formula 1 anymore.
Oh, wow.
Too old?
There's a point when your time has come and you retire with grace, and he's done that 4 times, and it's time for him now to stop.
He's very good at it.
I mean...
Yeah,
but Alonso at least...
Alonso has got at least a couple of world championships and a load of wins under his belt.
No, but
is still quite good.
No, but the thing is, Alonso, for all of the ups and downs of Alonso, he is exciting. You know, he is... But mad. Nico Hülkenberg's just a kind of journeyman driver who just journeys. There's no need for it.
I mean, he is a safe pair of hands, and that is a sort of a sad state of affairs that he is the best option for whichever team it is he's going to. I can't even remember who he's driving for. He's driving for Haas.
He's taken over from Mick Schumacher, and I think I'd rather have Mick Schumacher in
But the trouble is Schumacher is proven crap.
Yeah.
Whereas Hülkenberg will not be great, but he'll probably be fine. He's another Magnussen.
What?
They've got another Kevin Magnussen. They've got a taller Kevin Magnussen.
Suck balls.
They've got a couple of guys who will make some memes, and they'll pretend to get on like Gasly and Ocon will.
Yeah.
And they'll probably get all their publicity from that because the car won't be that good. And it's fine. It's fine. They're treading water until the bit more American boys come and they can try and ride those coattails.
So as we record this, we are in the early stages of the 2023 car reveals, by which, of course, we mean the livery reveals, because none of the cars we're seeing will be anything like the cars that actually race. So can I please have your reaction to the following cars that have been unveiled so far, please? We'll start off with Haas.
The Haas has got some slightly new livery that reminds me of Nigel Mansell's IndyCar.
It's awful.
Okay.
It's absolutely the most uninspired. I mean, Haas's colours have always been like, oh, what should we do? Should we have white
and
grey?
Well, at least it's not a Russian flag this time.
I know, but it's just... I mean, does any child go, oh, which racing car do I want? Oh, give me the one that's 750 shades of grey. Oh, God.
Well, actually, that would be much more exciting.
Okay, what about Red Bull?
Same as it
ever
was.
It's exactly the same. Yeah. Okay. It's a Red Bull.
Williams.
Well, massive missed opportunity.
I haven't seen this yet, but I understand.
Well, let's do a live. Okay, let's do a live reaction.
Wait,
because I understand they've announced a sponsorship with Golf.
They have. They announced it this afternoon. Well, they revealed it this afternoon. They have got a sponsorship with Golf. Golf, and we remember the cool McLaren.
And Golf have a really good history of liveries.
Massively
That's
good.
So, oh, sorry, Cheeky. You seem to have put up the cars pictures from a different year, because this is what Williams looks like every year. This is awful.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. I think that looks cool with the lights.
Yeah. But when
the
lights,
you know, when they're racing, they don't have those lights. Maybe that's why Williams are so. This is the way Williams do it. We have lights.
The lights.
I think it's massively disappointing, because the only thing that I saw on there made me go.
What were you expecting? Come on.
Well, I was expecting the Golf livery that we had on the McLaren last year, which was awesome. And all the Golf livery that's been on every single Golf sponsored car in the history of motorsport,
this
and has been awesome.
That's nice.
Which looks awesome.
Is
this
nice
is just color.
It's got
Williams
the golf
with
on it.
Yeah, it's got a Golf logo on it, and that's it. Also, the one thing I saw about it that made me go, "Huh, that's cool," was the Duracell thing on the top, because they're sponsored by Duracell, and so in the air intake looks like a Duracell battery, and I was like, "Oh, that's actually pretty cool." And then I found out apparently they did that last year, and I completely missed it.
Wow.
So massively disappointing.
Okay.
Great.
So we haven't seen it yet, but we do know that the Alfa Romeo has a new title sponsor, which is a betting firm called Stake. And their old title sponsor, Orlen, has gone to AlphaTauri, so presumably both of them will be giving things a mix-up.
Yeah, haven't seen them, don't know anything about them. That's it. Nothing else has been revealed.
Okay, good. So let's do predictions. Now, obviously, nobody can really know what's going to happen in the 2023 F1 World Championship, but that doesn't stop everybody speculating wildly. So we asked you, our sexy and intelligent listeners, to tell us what we can expect to see this season. And we are going to discuss whether or not you are right. Now, Dixon Cox says Vegas and Miami compete. Stop it. Vegas and Miami compete to see who can put on the most violently American show for their weekend, both of which turn out to be quite rubbish. I love the description, violently American.
It wouldn't surprise me if that's fairly accurate, yeah. Guns.
So, do you reckon, because you know that the F1 do that F1 in schools thing?
Yeah.
What, in America?
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, it's going to be a bloodbath. Oh, no.
Ken Owen says, Monaco will be boring AF. Unless it rains, then it'll be even slower and boring. That's not a prediction, that's a fact.
Is that like Wimbledon AF?
Oh, God. It feels like a long season already.
Ian Martin says, I have had a strong hunch for a month or two now that Lewis will win the first race of 2023. I have no idea what will happen after that. Probably another tiresome Verstappen cakewalk. I shouldn't wonder.
I think Lewis Hamilton's going to win this year.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay.
Will Bowen says Ferrari will be Ferrari, a really fast car that won't see the finish line, or such inept team tactics that they end up behind at least two other title contenders. They will have a new team principal in 2024.
I agree with that entirely.
I think they will be laughably shit. Like, not great with a shit strategy. This year they get all the strategy calls right, but the car will be shit.
They're absolutely not. They bat above their level, but their level is 12th.
Ivo Fantini says, Hamilton will be 8 times world champion, so Team LH can stop being so obnoxious about 2021. Also, he'll pull a Rosberg and retire at the end of season after winning.
I don't think he will. I think he'll win, but he won't retire.
I don't think he'll win.
But he will retire.
I also don't think he'll retire. I think if he did win, he might retire, but I don't think he'll win. So I don't think he'll retire.
Dan Cocking says, I reckon Johnny Herbert will make a random appearance on Martin Brundle's gridwalk. He will then shun Brundle's interview attempt and walk on wearing a politically motivated t-shirt stating Christian Horner is a massive bell end.
So has something happened with Johnny Herbert?
Yes. He has got the boot from the Sky coverage, as has Paul DiResta. For reasons unknown, because I haven't looked into it.
They're both going to WTF one.
They might be. Who knows? I mean, I quite like Johnny Herbert. I thought he was all right. DiResta I found boring. But Herbert was all right.
So yeah.
I don't know why they've kicked him off, but it would be quite funny if he just turns up just at races just going, oh yeah.
Just
not milling about.
Not to do the commentary, just to do the little kind of the pre things like, oh, I've got two drivers, we're going to do a wacky golf tournament.
Oh, what do you reckon?
Oh, I'm demeaning myself. I could have been a world champion, but here we are.
I've got an arrow in the knee.
Oh, now I've got to watch Daniel Ricciardo eat a brick.
That is a Sky segment waiting to happen, isn't it?
We've got Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris both eating a brick.
It won't be Lando Norris. Lando's too big time now. It'll be Daniel Ricciardo or like Jamie Chadwick or something like that. It'll be the reserve drivers who don't actually have anything to do apart from demeaning
I
stuff.
I just remember that Daniel Ricciardo is a Red Bull reserve driver this year. I've forgotten.
He turned up at the launch with like Perez and...
Was he wearing his old uniform?
He was. He basically was. I mean, yeah, it's because it's the same. True. And he was sitting there. He's done the talk shows and stuff. They sent him out to do all the publicity. He's just like, ha ha, I never drive.
You know that Christian Horner has said to him, underneath the table, he's kind of going, look, we're going to get rid of Perez, you're going to be back in the driving seat next year. But the truth is, that's never going to fucking happen.
It's not going to happen. And I tell you why it's not going to happen. It's because looking at the pictures from the New York Red Bull launch, Sergio Perez is looking a lot like Christian Horner these days in a lot of the pictures.
Okay, so we're going to talk about predictions. Terry, you said you did think Lewis will win this year.
Yes.
And Phil, you said you didn't.
Well, are we talking race or championship?
Championship.
No, I don't think Hamilton's got a chance at all. I think Verstappen's going to take another one.
In terms of drivers, okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be another Verstappen walkover.
Okay, what about teams?
I think it's going to be. Do you know what? I think Mercedes is going to win the constructors, because Perez is going to bottle it, and I think that Russell and Hamilton are going to take too much out of each other, and Verstappen will actually do a Raikkonen.
Wow. What, go to NASCAR and then rallying?
Yeah.
No. I think Verstappen is going to win in even more dominant fashion than he did last year, because Red Bull have got their shit together and they're going to be absolutely on it from the first race of the season, and they're going to annihilate everyone.
I think that Christian Horner and Toto Wolff are actually going to have a fist fight this year.
Toto Wolff will smash him.
Absolutely.
He'll literally just do like a sort of hammer fist on his head and drive him into the ground. Like
no,
a
do you know what? I think Newey and Horner are going to fall out.
Oh.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
There's going to be a tussle for power, and Horner's...
Well, because we've got a vacuum here's now, my haven't we? Because Mateschitz has gone.
There's going to be... My prediction is that this time next... By the end of the season, Horner will not be the boss of Red Bull.
But who will be? Johnny Herbert.
Newey. Oh. Adrian Newey will be, and he'll be a fucking disaster at it, because he want to do it all in pencil.
All of which brings us to the state of F1 with Terry Saunders.
Chica, Phil, it's winter. It's snowing in Berlin, at least. It's still dark before the sun comes up, and we're about to embark on another long campaign of talking about Formula One, which is almost as hard, if not harder, than Formula One itself. Whilst the circus flies around the world, we will have to open our laptops and turn on our cameras. It will be tough. Some races will be boring, and some races we won't watch but try to wing it, and there'll be a lot of last moment 7-minute highlights to watch. We will write approximately 125 witty one-liner intros. I will have to come up with the same joke again and again and again for the standings, suck my balls, and Chica will forget to make a quiz around about 22 times. And let's not forget, there is a chance that Max will dominate, Ferrari will disappoint, and Mercedes will dissipate. It might be a long slog, but we do it for a reason, and that reason is our listeners. They've stuck with us for so many years. They don't want statistics, memes, or cheery analysis. They want grumpy reluctance and cynical sarcasm of the sport we hate to love. So don't go into this season for me, do it for them. The demographic of older, lonely men that we try and sell ball trimmers and vitamin supplements to. They are FF1S as much as we are them.
God save the king.
Yes.
That is it from us. It is goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about, in all seriousness, Jenny Gow, who is a very expert motoring journalist, Formula One journalist, presenter of the Checkered Flag, and has not been very well, and we wish her the absolute best. Get well soon, Jenny. Thank you.
And to Terry Saunders.
We also haven't had time to talk about Formula E.
We'll be back very soon. Thank you very much for all your donations. We will be giving you a roll call in the next episode. But in the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/forF1'sSake, and follow us on Twitter @forF1'sSake. Terry, where can people buy our up-to-date merch?
We haven't up-to-dated our merch this year, but I'm going to make
last year.
I'm going to make a promise.
Oh God, here we go.
We're going to have, by the first race of the season,
right,
5 new t-shirts.
Right.
Five.
This is staying in, producer Matt.
Yep.
We're going to get rid of this when it turns out that we're not.
A white one. A black one. Because very much, like Naomi Klein, our logo is no logo.
Who's Naomi Klein?
Look it up.
Thanks for listening. See you for the racing. I've been Chico.
Everyone else, shop.
Goodbye. Show you.
Shop, F1S.com.
Fuck.
DEFCON 7, shop.
Goodbye! Oh,
bye!
Hey! Well
Sports Social Podcast Network.